Billy and Cheryl. Well, actually, it was Cheryl that came first. We were meeting out in the gym. She came with these three little boys. Two of them are here today. Billy was on vacation, so she was by herself. So then she brought Billy, who I call Billy Bob. And Billy Bob was quite an interesting character before Jesus. And even after Jesus. But I remember one time, Billy Bob, he'd just gotten to know the Lord. And he came up for prayer, and I was one of the ones that was helping pray, and I went to pray for him, and he gave me this dirty look. And I go, oh my goodness, do you remember that, Billy Bob? And so I was laying hands on him and praying, and he was like just giving me these dirty looks, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came down and knocked us both down. And later on he told me, he said, you know, I was really kind of upset because I didn't want no woman praying over me. And then I also remember Levi. I don't know where he went. Levi, where's the little one? We used to have these praise gatherings at my house that would go on from, you know, 7 o'clock till 3 in the morning. And we would just praise the Lord, and Levi would come. They would bring him, and he was really, really short. He was like this, about under 3 feet. And we'd let him pray us in, and he'd go like this, "Dear Jesus," and he'd shake his little head. Oh, it was so cute. And anyway, he would pray. It was awesome. Yeah. So, my memories of Billy Bob and Cheryl. So the message that the Lord's laid on my heart, I got to get my little help here. I always have to bring something. Y'all know what that is, right? Lighthouse? Yeah. Okay. The word that the Lord has given me for us all is about the times that we're living in right now. I'm going to read from Matthew 24, verse 3. And it begins like this. "Now as he," meaning Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all of the nations, and then the end will come." I think we can all agree that we're living in the end times, right? Yeah. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 7, it talks more about what's going to happen, which is happening. "But I know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Doesn't that sound like 2021? Amen? We're living in the last days. What the Bible says is good, many today are saying is evil. What the Bible said is wrong, many today are saying is right and good. We're seeing wars, we're seeing killings, we're seeing pestilence, famine, earthquakes, turmoil in Israel, a culture that undermines the sovereignty of God. There's no moral compass in our world anymore. Those caught up in perversion are never satisfied. That's why we see so many addictions, so many suicides today. The suicide rate is horrendous. The addiction rate, my husband and I own a treatment center, and we deal with the addicted. It's terrible what's going on today. And then we also work with the school. My husband is the one that goes to the school and works with the kids. And he comes home and he tells me stories about kids, the choices that they're giving the kids, how there's no moral compass with the kids in today's generation. We're in the last days. We really are. But you know what? It's really bad out there. But this morning I want to encourage us. You see, in the Bible, in 1 John 4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter what's happening in this world, greater is he in us than he that is in the world. Matthew 6:25 tells us not to worry about life, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. God's going to take care of that. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is our all-powerful, all-compassionate, all-wise, and all-loving Heavenly Father. We need to trust the Lord to be our source of everything that we may have need of. I remember years ago, I used to go to Central America and do mission work. And I remember walking down the streets of El Salvador in poverty, dirt streets, shacks on both sides of the road. And the people, you know, an American's an oddity, so of course they're coming out, you know, to, you know, greet you and whatever. You could tell who was a believer and who was not. The believers, their needs were being met. You could see it. You could see it. It was so real to me. And the despair and the in the ones that weren't believers was so evident. If you've ever been in a third world country, it's like black and white. America, we're a lot of gray because of the compromises that we've made. Anyway, when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, a miracle happens on the inside. He takes up residence in our heart, and we become a house where the Spirit of the Lord lives. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Ephesians 2, verse 22 tells us that we are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He dwells in us. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14, that we are the light of the world. 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. These scriptures tell us that God is dwelling in us. When we've accepted him as our Savior, he's dwelling in us. And in him is no darkness. You know, it's like this. If God is in the house, then I'm a lighthouse. If God's in your house, then you're a lighthouse. Amen? So what is the purpose of a lighthouse? I have one over here so you can all see a lighthouse here. In the natural, a lighthouse, the light would shine and it would give direction to the ships coming into to the land, or it would give direction. It gave hope to the sailors that were sailing the ships. Sometimes it was foggy. They couldn't see where they were going, and they would see that light, and it would give them hope, and it would give them just a sense of security. Every single lighthouse in history saved lives. And I'm going to ask Scott and Terry and Zach, can you close that door for a second? I want to just talk a little bit about the lighthouse. I want to show you something that's kind of interesting. Because a lighthouse always brought light to the dark. And so it is with you and I. The light that lives in us will always penetrate through the darkness, offering hope. It'll be offering peace, forgiveness, strength, offering Jesus to a very dark world. This is a very large building that we're in right now. Do you see how this little light right here? I can see shapes all over. If someone walked through the door, they would know right where to go because they'd see this little bitty light. You can turn it back on now. Hopefully we'll have some light. There it is. Jesus is coming soon. Do y'all believe that? I mean, we just read scripture that points to the fact that, yes, Jesus is coming soon. We're in the latter days. We can't deny it. And he's calling us as a church, as believers, to wake up and let his light shine into this dark world. We are expecting company, church. We are expecting the Lord to come soon. Is that not true? So in the natural, what do you do if you're expecting a really special guest to come to your house? You get prepared. What else do you do? You clean. And we anticipate the coming, do we not, of that special person. So it should be with the coming of the Lord. We need to get the house clean. Amen? And it seems to me that oftentimes we let our light grow dim. It doesn't shine as bright as it once did. Some of our houses have become dirty with cobwebs. The windows have become glazed over with dust. So the light doesn't shine as bright. Some of our lighthouses have become cluttered with the cares of this world. Let's take a look inside. So here we go inside, and there's a peculiar smell in here. I don't really know what it is, but it smells like something, but I don't know. Oh, look over there in that corner, under that old blanket of disappointment. Oh, if you look over there, you see discouragement underneath that table. That's where I like to rest my weary arms and reflect bitter thoughts of anger and resentment toward those who have hurt me and treated me unfairly. Do you see that old rocking chair in the corner? That's where I like to sit when I feel sorry for myself. I like to rock myself to sleep, thinking depressing thoughts of unworthiness and failure. It's best to leave me alone when I sit in that rocking chair of self-pity. Do you see the picture on the wall? This one over here, it's a huge fork. It looks like a Picasso rendition. But really, it's criticalness. And I hung it on the wall there because when I feel rejected, I pull it out. It helps to numb the hurt. And right next to that fork, you see that knife? I don't pull that down very often. I just use it nice now and then. I like to slice and dice when someone does something that I perceive to be wrong. I know we're not supposed to judge, but I can justify my judgment. If you look on that other wall over there on this side, you see it's beautiful. And I keep adding colorful touches to it to make it look a little bit better. I call it gossip. And I love to put little colors here and there. It just, you know, it feels good. There are a lot of other artifacts here, but that will be for another day. So the smell that you smelled when you first walked in, like I said, it's a peculiar smell and it's not an old and musty smell. Ah, I know what it is. It's the smell of bitterness. It alone can choke out the light. So I'm going to talk a little bit about bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says that we need to look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many will be defiled. The definition of bitterness in the dictionary is anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly, resentment. I'm going to travel down a road for a little minute here to explain how bitterness can enter into our house and with it bring a host of spiritual entities that block out the light. Let's say that someone hurts us. This can be a family member. It can be a group of people. It can be a coworker, an employer, an employee, a pastor, a spouse, a son or a daughter, a mother or father. It doesn't matter who it is. It can even be God. But we are hurt. The hurt is real. The pain is real. So we ponder over this and we think about it. And we play the scenario over and over and over in our mind. And we get more angry. And we think of things we should have said, things we should not have said. But we play it over and over. Before we know it, bitterness has crept in and we're feeling resentful and angry. You see, bitterness will always lead to anger, unforgiveness, cursing, hate, vindictiveness, and judgment. Sometimes bitterness comes when a hurt didn't really happen. Sometimes it happens when we place an expectation on someone and we resent that they didn't do what we expected them to do or say. Do you know that some people get offended and we are all guilty of this. I'm going to try to use an example here. I know what I can use. Most in our society, usually men check the oil in the car, right? So us women expect that to happen, right? So let's just go along and our car blows up because we expected our husband to check the oil, but he never did. We never asked him to. It's just a given. He's supposed to do it. Right? And it didn't happen, so we're angry, and we're resentful toward them. That's a premeditated resentment. And do you know resentment is nothing but unfulfilled revenge? I'm going to say that again so that kind of sinks in. Expectation is premeditated resentment. Resentment is unfulfilled revenge. It says, I want to get even. I want them to hurt like I do. Resentment loves to hibernate in our mind where we play the scenario over and over and the hurt gets bigger and bigger. And before we know it, we're in full-blown bitterness and unforgiveness has set in. Now we have set a table for lots of turmoil to enter into our house and torment our soul. Our light becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. No longer can we offer hope to a dying world. We're offering bitterness to a world that's already very bitter. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See, Jesus knew that we would have things that would hurt us and make us angry. He knew that. He probably had things, matter of fact, he did he not? He got angry. Remember when the Pharisees, when their people were buying and selling in the temple, he got angry. Bible says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, there's a reason it says, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's, you know, if you're really hurt, when are you going to really think those thoughts of playing that scenario over and over again in your mind? It's when you're trying to go to sleep at night, right? So, yeah, pop another sleep aid. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. I'm just as guilty as anyone, you know. I mean, that is truly when, and everything's so exaggerated at that time, but Jesus promised us rest. So when someone hurts us, rather than meditating on the pain and the events that led up to it, meditate on releasing that person to God. pray for them. One of the very toughest prayers I've ever prayed in my life is, and some of you, I used to do Yellow Book, and you know this prayer really well, God bless them and change me. So if it's a certain person that's hurt you, just go in your closet and say, God, bless him or her and change me. Powerful. That doesn't mean that we have to trust them. It does not mean that what they did is okay. It simply means that we release them from our judgment and we place them at the cross. We forgive not because we feel like it, but because God commanded us to. Matthew 6, verse 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. And Jesus went on to say to his disciples in verse 15, for if you do not forgive men for their transgression, your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgression. That's pretty heavy duty. Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I have heard people say, I forgive them, but I'm very bitter. I have also heard people say, I resent the one who hurt me. I've also heard people say, I'm not ready to forgive yet. I have also heard people say about themselves, I don't deserve to be forgiven. So all of these things, is this what you want God to say to you? Because it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I mean, I don't want to stand before the throne of God and he say to me, I'm not ready to forgive you yet. I don't want to stand before the throne of God and have him say, you don't deserve it. I don't want to stand before the throne of God and say, you know, I really resent what you did. We must accept God's grace. When we accept him as our Savior, his grace is what gives us the freedom to let the blood of Jesus forgive our sins. And that same grace that is extended to us, we need to extend to others. It's a full circle. Forgiveness is a decision that I make to obey God and to walk in a realm where I will not allow someone else's actions or attitudes to dictate my actions or attitudes. Do you know how hard that is? Think about it. I will not allow someone else's actions or attitudes dictate mine. It's freedom when we can get there. Forgiveness does mean that I release this person that hurt me from my judgment. I acknowledge that I no longer have the right to hurt them back. We embrace God's forgiveness and we extend it to someone else who has hurt us. That's God's light burning bright. Amen. So how can we keep that light burning bright? How can we be a lighthouse that is full of the Spirit of God? Well, we need to take inventory of what's in the lighthouse. What are we hanging on to that's not of God? We need to clean house. Jesus is coming. We need to repent. We need to ask God to fill us with his Spirit, with his joy, with his love. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be able to offer hope to this world that has none. Because you know what? That is what they're seeking. They're seeking hope. Philippians 2:24 or 14 through 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as the light of the world. So what's coming out of this lighthouse? If we're a lighthouse, what's coming out? Are we grumbling and complaining? Are we cursing? Are we angry? Or are we offering hope? Are we offering the love of Jesus? Are we offering peace? Are we offering joy? Are we letting the fruits of the Spirit out? You know, we've been reading Philippians 4:8. We've been, every Sunday morning here now for a while, we've been reciting that. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a huge big key right there. What's going on in your brain? What are you thinking about? Is it lovely? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it good? Is it praiseworthy? If you need to write these things down and just line up your thoughts with them and check it off, this scripture here has been one of my get set free scriptures. Because when I get to the bottom of myself and then I think, God, it wasn't pure, it wasn't lovely, it wasn't praiseworthy, of course I'm not supposed to be thinking on that. Because what's it going to do to me but get me down into the pit, right? So we need to meditate on these things. We need to be on guard against negative thoughts, because whatever our heart is meditating on, that's going to come out. It's like a light switch in our lighthouse. So back to cleaning the house. So each of us must ask God to shine His light into every single area and search our heart. You know, David said, Lord, search my heart. Show me if there's any wickedness. Because you know what? If you agree with your sin, that's the worst kind to get set free from. If you can justify what you're thinking about or what you're doing that God's not wanting you to do, that's hard to get delivery from. That's why David said, search out my heart, O God. Show me if there's any wickedness here. So do you want your light to shine brighter? Do you want to be a beacon of light in 2021? I hope so, because the world needs it. We need to renounce to the things of the world, as spoken of in 1 Timothy 3 that we read earlier. We need to confess and repent of all bitterness and allow His light to shine, allowing forgiveness to do that full circle, receiving cleansing from the blood of Jesus and allowing forgiveness to flow through toward those who have hurt us. We need to let our light shine. Know that God is for you. He wants your light bright and shining. He called us children of light. Don't worry about the darkness in the world today, because as you could see with this little bitty light over here, when this big room was darkened, you could see it so clear. So don't worry about the darkness in the world, because your light is always going to be brighter. Darkness can never push out light. It's impossible. Light will always push out darkness. Hold on to the promises of God. Don't worry about the cares of the world. He's promised to provide all that you need. Remember that scripture, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Lift up your eyes, because they're the window to your soul. Let the world see Jesus in you. Let them see His hope. Let them see His light. Jesus is the light of this world. He's a light in the darkest of night. Jesus is alive in me, making me a house of light. I want everyone to say, if God is in the house, if God is in the house, then I'm a lighthouse. Let's say that again with some oomph. If God is in the house, then I'm a lighthouse. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, let your light shine in my heart. Lord, I want to be so full of your love, your peace, your joy. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Lord, we choose to forgive those who have hurt us. We choose to forgive ourselves. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins. Let's all say that together. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins, and you can equip me to forgive. And you can equip me to forgive, even if, as you have forgiven me. I renounce to all bitterness of my heart. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you expose every hidden deed of darkness. Yes, Holy Spirit. And bring me to repentance, so that I can be a lighthouse in this dark world. I release hurt, all of the anger, all of the disappointments, discouragement, fear, all of the doubt and unbelief. And I ask now that you fill me with your joy, your peace, your love, your hope, and let my light shine bright for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, if God is in the house, 1, 2, 3. If God is in the house, then I'm a lighthouse. Amen.